Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're in Money FM 89.3. We are still continuing to monitor uncertainties brought about by the tightening of social restrictions once again to try and curb the worrisome uptick in COVID-19 cases within the community here in Singapore. We have to ask how the REITs might actually fare given the reduced traffic, especially for some of the retail and commercial REITs. Well, Credit Suisse, before those measures were announced, actually released an outlook on Singapore's property and REIT sector. Of course, we want to know how the recent events of the weekend, when these new social restrictions were implemented, how it's impacted or altered their outlook on Singapore's property and REIT space. Today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Ms. Kung Suk Ching. She's Credit Suisse's head of Southeast Asia research at their private banking arm, and she's here to talk to us about how the recent events, if it at all, has affected their outlook. So, Ching, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are well and in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, ma'am. It has been a while.
Yes, well, good afternoon. I'm delighted to be back here. Thank you.
All right. That note that Credit Suisse released just last week, where you noted that risk sentiment for the property sector is tempered and that there are still pathways to growth. However, as we know, over the weekend, things have changed significantly, the recent tightening of these COVID-19 measures. How has this altered your outlook on the space, if ever? And are you still fairly optimistic, or is this a significant knockback for both property and REIT companies here in Singapore?
Well, first of all, I'm not expecting the latest slate of COVID-19 measures to have a severely adverse impact on the economy. We are not in a total lockdown. Most businesses are still operating with some constraints. There are targeted government support, like the 50% wage subsidies for the F&B sector. Of course, there is clearly downside risk to quarter two GDP. But assuming that the local COVID situation gets under control in the coming weeks and we emerge from phase two measures by the end of June, if not by mid-June, and also if the manufacturing sector continues its growth momentum, then I think it's reasonable to expect full-year GDP to still fall within the 4-6% government projection and probably at a higher end too. So I'm not factoring in substantial change in the underlying fundamentals for properties and REITs just yet.
We do have to ask, though, about the retail sector, with F&B establishments once again barred from dine-in services, malls also seeing occupancy rates cut significantly. And while it's only meant to last until June 13, this is about a month, actually, that they'll have to deal with reduced traffic and business operations or activity. And this is about half of last year's circuit breaker duration, just to put it into context. How bad do you think this might actually hit retail REITs?
Well, in the last two quarters, operating metrics for retail REITs like tenant sales and shopper traffic have been improving, especially for those REITs with suburban exposures. So sales at many suburban shopping centres were even back to pre-COVID levels. So these latest measures are obviously a setback. Now, every 1 month of rent rebate that a retail REIT provides for its F&B tenant could potentially shave off some 4-11% of this year's distributions per unit, or what we call DPU. But having said that, we believe rent rebates have already peaked in 2020, and the DPU for the retail REITs are still expected to grow by an average of 20%+ this year from last year's low base, even with some extra rent support due to the latest measures. And those with a larger suburban portfolio, and we think will be more defensive because of necessity shopping and also work from home, could actually help the F&B tenants take away orders.
Now, we're back to a work-from-home default, if I'm not mistaken. And the big question during the pandemic, even, and before the recent measures, is whether or not COVID has permanently altered work patterns at offices. Given the new measures, could this actually see demand for office space permanently reduced, or it confirms that a permanent reduction for office space demand is needed? And could this thus weigh on commercial developers and office REITs? What are your thoughts for this particular sector of the REIT space?
Yeah, I think in the last few months, we have seen a number of financial institutions in Singapore expressing their intentions to scale back the physical footprint over the next few years to accommodate a hybrid working model. So demand for CBD office space from these traditional sources looks to be permanently reduced because of work from home. But at the same time, we are also seeing potentially new demand from new sources like global internet and technology giants like ByteDance, like Twitter, Zoom. They're setting up regional offices in Singapore. And also in the next few years from the supply side, we anticipate that some all office properties could be taken out of the equation for redevelopment as developers leverage on the government's strategic development incentive scheme. So I think it's not all doom and gloom because of work from home. And how well the office landlords will do will really depend on how they position themselves for the new types of demand and also their ability to extract value from asset redevelopment from their portfolios.
All right. We're still speaking to Ms. Kum Suk Ching. She's the Credit Suisse's head of Southeast Asia research for their private banking arm. She's joining us here in Money FM 89.3 to talk about their outlook for the REIT and property space, especially in light of the recent tightening of these COVID-19 measures here in Singapore. One other thing that REITs and developers may have to worry about also is rising bond yields. As we've seen also, when interest rates tend to push up, it does weigh on developers and REITs who might need more favorable borrowing costs to try and finance acquisitions or some of these huge projects that they have. Just how big of an issue are these inflationary and rising bond and rising interest rate pressures?
I think for property developers, short-term interest rates, like mortgage rates, for example, they drive property demand. So they matter more than the long bond yields. And we continue to expect short-term interest rates to remain relatively low from a historical context. For REITs, it's a different story. Rising bond yields do affect the valuations, and that is why the REIT sector has underperformed the broad Singapore market this year. And we think there is room for bond yields to rise a little more due to rising inflation expectations, as you've mentioned. But I do believe that another 30 to 40 basis point of increase in the Singapore 10-year bond yield from the current 1.5% level is already discounted. And if you look at the experience in the last few months, most of the impact from the rising bond yields has really been absorbed in the yield spread, which is actually compressed.
It's been very interesting to see that residential property continues to rise, especially property prices and demand for residential property. Where is the strength coming from based on what you're seeing? And how serious of a challenge could potential tightening or cooling measures have on the appetite, at least, for residential property that we've seen in Singapore?
Yeah, indeed. The pandemic has really changed the way that we think about where and how we live and work. And people are really looking for more space or working from home. So what we've seen is housing markets basically taking off all around the world. And of course, low interest rates have helped. Now, on the supply side, in the Singapore's the local context, we're seeing developers running out of land bank. Inventory has been clearing gradually since 2019, and at the end of March, there was about 21,600 unsold units in the market, and this was the level last seen in late 2016, just before the start of the en bloc fever. So we have favorable demand-supply dynamics, we have low interest rates, and then, of course, there's cost-push factors. We all know the construction costs are going up. So all these are going to keep property prices quite firm. And against this backdrop, the risk of policy tightening has increased clearly. For property stocks, the risk of policy tightening has definitely tempered the market sentiment for the sector. But I think if and when the policy intervention actually happens, I doubt we will see more than a knee-jerk reaction in the property stocks, as they are already trading below book values. And the book values themselves have actually been significantly written down in 2020. Now, just to put things in context, when property cooling measures were last introduced on 5th of July 2018, with an increase in additional buyer stamp duty, the ABSD, and then the tightening in loan-to-value limits, the LTV, the property sector lost about 7% in the 3 months after the announcement, but they ended up 12% higher by July 2019, 1 year out.
Finally, Suk Ching, Credit Suisse maintains a very strong outlook on industrial REITs, which some believe are in for a pullback after a very strong 2020. Where is your continued faith in industrial REITs coming from? And also, could your case actually be reinforced by these returning COVID fears that's seen some of these COVID-19 champions, for lack of a better term, actually starting to get more favor once again? Talk to us about why Credit Suisse is so upbeat, actually, on the industrial REIT space.
Right. Now, earlier this year, we did see industrial REITs underperforming the market as investors were rotating to reopening plays like hospitality and retail REITs. But with a resurgence of COVID concerns, we think industrial REITs is emerging again as a relatively safe harbour. Manufacturing continues to be strong, and industrial production globally could even reaccelerate when the component shortage situation is resolved. So demand for industrial property should be quite well supported through the pandemic. Spot rents are expected to be quite resilient, and we think that industrial landlords are unlikely to have to provide substantial rental support. So we see in industrial REITs a nice balance of defensiveness and also a growth potential. Industrial REITs typically have longer lease expiries and more diversified geographic exposure, which lends them a high degree of resilience through the pandemic. At the same time, we see them benefiting from structural demand growth from sectors like e-commerce, logistics, and cloud providers. The larger industrial REITs also have other growth options like acquisitions, especially if they have strong sponsors with assets to inject. So we continue to be actually quite constructive on the industrial REIT sector.
Kum Suk Ching, Credit Suisse's head of Southeast Asia research for their private banking arm, joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to share the bank's outlook for Singapore's property and REIT sector, despite the renewed and recurring headwinds, at least, brought about by COVID-19. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these very uncertain times, and we look forward to the next time we can have you join us on the show. Meanwhile, stay safe, and I hope you have a great Thursday ahead, ma'am.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.